This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Welcome into Morning Invest, everyone, on this Thursday, October 22nd. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. Thank you for supporting independent journalism, which is outside the mainstream, covering stories that you might not see anywhere else. So thank you so much. We got a big show for you today. Obviously, we have debate night tonight, maybe one of the last chances for President Trump to really move the needle on anything meaningful in this election. I think it's a huge mistake that he canceled the second debate, but we'll see. So debate night tonight. Who's coming over to my house? I'm going to make some popcorn, open a bottle of wine, throw things at the television. Who's in? Join us, if you will. We've got other big news that we're following. This could be the biggest story in cryptocurrency this year, what just happened overnight. We'll tell you how PayPal is giving Bitcoin a huge boost, huge legitimacy. We'll tell you what's going on in the Bitcoin cryptocurrency space. We're also going to talk about why Mitch McConnell is, by all intents and purposes, killing any hope of a stimulus. We'll tell you about his little dog and pony show yesterday on the Senate floor with the stimulus bill that the Senate put out, which was a joke. But all signs are pointing to Mitch McConnell stopping any kind of broader stimulus package. And with little leadership from the President of the United States on this issue, we might not see a stimulus before Election Day at this point. So we'll have the very latest on that. Borat just took down Rudy Giuliani. Trump campaign is reeling this morning. Rudy Giuliani is reeling this morning, going on a PR offensive right now, because Rudy Giuliani was caught in a compromising position in Borat's second movie, which comes out on Friday. So they are doing as much spin control as they can. Of course, this all comes on the heels of Southern District of New York and prosecutors still looking into Rudy Giuliani's shady ties to what he was doing in the Ukraine. All of that and more just goes to show a great group of people that President Trump surrounds himself with. We'll tell you about that story. And if you're a billionaire and you had to get rid of $2 billion in a short few months, what could you do? How could you get rid of $2 billion virtually overnight? Reminds me of that Brewster's Millions movie, you know, Richard Pryor from the 1980s. He had to give away all that money. What is he going to do? He has to spend it. What can he do? He couldn't give it away, right? He had to spend it. So we'll tell you how billionaires just managed to blow $2 billion on a stupid video streaming service. And now hundreds of people are out of work and they still have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. And yet they're laying all these people off. Look at all that money back, all those investors. So all of that and more on the show today. We've got a lot to get to today. Grover is here. If you hear him in the background, he just woke up and now he's in one of his like biting, I'm going to chew everything mode. So he found his little hairbrush, which he likes to attack. And he always forgets which end is the spiky part. And then he bites down on it and makes a little yelp once he realizes that that's the spiky part. Well, maybe he's going back to sleep. Good to see everyone on this Thursday. So let's start with the stimulus this morning. Mitch McConnell basically killing the latest stimulus, putting forth a ridiculous little dog and pony show yesterday on the Senate floor, $500 billion Senate bill that he knew would have no votes and would never make it, never see the light of day, was not going to do anything to help the American people. And yet that's what unfolded in the Senate yesterday. At this point, you're probably hearing stories like we've been reporting here on the show, how Nancy Pelosi and the White House are inching closer to a stimulus deal. Mark Meadows has been tweeting about it. Steven Mnuchin has been meeting with Nancy Pelosi. It seems like positivity is coming out of those negotiations. So why is Mitch McConnell basically about to throw cold water on the whole thing? Well, let's analyze this, shall we? Because this is shaping up to be exactly what happens. No stimulus before Election Day if Mitch McConnell gets his way. And the number one reason, and Washington Post tackled this story this morning, and not surprising, he doesn't want to pass something ambitious because the number one reason is because it would disrupt the Senate's plans to confirm Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court next week. By not passing something now, basically McConnell leaves open the possibility that if Trump is reelected, then Republicans can do something bigger to boost the economy under a continuing GOP presidency. So we might get a stimulus sometime over the next few months if there's a lame duck presidency. That's kind of the argument here. But the biggest story is the Supreme Court. And Mitch McConnell's legacy is tied to making that Supreme Court a 6-3 conservative majority in the Supreme Court. And any disruption to this right now before the election is a non-starter for Mitch McConnell. So derailing the Senate confirmation hearings next week to go through and push this through to get Amy Coney Barrett confirmed is a non-starter for him. There's a number of different reasons that Mitch McConnell is wanting to kill this stimulus. Number one, he will do away, he could do all he possibly can to kill the stimulus before the election, because then that's going to, it's going to bring parties together. It's going to undermine the base. That's the argument that Republicans in these kind of, I don't know, these vulnerable districts are going to somehow lose the reelection because their base would be upset. This is what the New York Times says about this. I just find this argument ridiculous. It's true, though. Here, normally the New York Times is full of crap. This is actually accurate, though. Here's what the New York Times says. Republicans also fear that a vote on such a measure would force vulnerable senators who are up for re-election into a difficult choice of openly defying the president or alienating their base by embracing the big spending bill that he has demanded. That is what the New York Times says. That's actually true. So they have a fear of alienating a base, but really the base isn't the voters. Alienating their big donors. That's what they're really talking about. When you talk about the base, they're not talking about voters. Because right now, an overwhelming number of Americans, even among conservatives, upwards of 60% of Republicans support a $2 trillion stimulus. Republicans support a stimulus just as much as Democrats do in this country. I don't care what your politics are. Like, if you're watching this right now, let me know in the chat below. Are you conservative? Are you liberal? Are you in the middle? Do you support a stimulus? I bet the numbers are going to be pretty overwhelming. So who would you be alienating? You know, what conservative is going to say, hey, Senator, you know, I was going to vote for you, but you provided extra money for me and my family that we could pay our bills. So, you know, I know it goes against my conservative judgment right now for the government to spend money on its people. So I'm just not going to vote for you. That's not what they're talking about. What the New York Times is talking about is they're worried about alienating their big donors who don't want them negotiating and collaborating with Democrats and Nancy Pelosi. So the New York Times is 100% accurate on this. It's just that they're wrong in thinking that the base is just humans or constituents. It's big donors. The other scenario here that's playing out in front of us right now is that Mitch McConnell will do anything he can to kill the stimulus before Election Day, because the upside for him to kill it is far greater than the downside. Because if he kills it right now, then it shows that he's not collaborating with Nancy Pelosi. His big money, big energy, big oil donors don't want him to do that in the first place. And then if President Trump wins, then there will probably be a sizable stimulus that they will pass with a united GOP after the election with a majority support. That's what's going to happen. The third scenario is that if Biden wins, which signs are pointing more and more heavily that Joe Biden is going to win, then they will do exactly what they did under President Trump, Mitch McConnell will, which is obstruct and not do anything to push forward any kind of agenda. So Biden presidency would want some sort of larger stimulus, is not going to happen. Mitch McConnell's not going to go along with it and be conciliatory and want to work with the American people to get a stimulus through. Not going to happen. And the fourth scenario is that if Biden wins and Democrats take the Senate, then we would actually get a large stimulus in the new year. Vice President Biden has already said that, you know, if they don't pass a stimulus when he gets into office in January, they will pass a stimulus without the help of the Republicans in the Senate. So, yes, by all accounts, Mitch McConnell is killing any hope of a stimulus right now. Yesterday, he put forward their little $500 billion dog and pony show that he knew wouldn't pass, and it didn't. You heard Chuck Schumer yesterday talking about what a joke it was and what a political stunt this thing was by bringing this thing to the floor of the Senate. And by all accounts, it really was. It was a total joke, and it was a stunt, and he knew exactly what was going to happen, and it was not going to pass.
We have so many different problems. And what do the Republicans do, Leader McConnell? A stunt. They can't get anything done. Their caucus is divided. Leader McConnell and Senate Republicans are the major barrier to preventing us from getting a bill. Because even when Mnuchin calls them up, they say no, they're not going to do anything. When the American people are suffering, to put this political stunt on the floor a second time is cruel, is harsh, and it shows a complete lack of leadership and caring for the suffering of the American people.
That's right. So there's your stimulus update. Go ahead and smash that like button, subscribe to the channel. We'll have updates. And look, I'm going to say right now, I'm not going to report on any more stimulus news. I know I said that before, but then the very next day we actually had stimulus news. So I'm not going to cover this anymore until we actually see a framework or a bill that's about to hit the floor. Other than that, I'm tired of them. I'm tired of this little dog and pony show. If Mitch McConnell gets his way, which by all accounts it looks like he is, we're not going to see anything meaningful until after Election Day. And it might not even be until after these clowns get voted out of office and thrown out in the beginning of January when we have a new Senate takeover. And we might not see a stimulus until January at this rate. With a lack of presidential leadership, the lack of presidential leadership calling on the Senate to get something done, we're not going to see a stimulus because all focus right now is on the Supreme Court. That's where we stand on this. So I'm not going to be covering this anymore. You get angry with me, I understand. But if you, and then this also teach you the lesson too, if you see all these other YouTubers with their phony videos that stimulus is coming today, et cetera, et cetera. Not if Mitch McConnell can help it. So until we have something meaningful, a bill that either comes out of committee, is handed to the Senate for a vote, and is about to become law, I'm not bothering you with this crap anymore. That's the very latest on the stimulus. Meanwhile, the president wants to spend his time, you know, tweeting about 60 Minutes and the interview that he's doing with Leslie Stahl, and they're more concerned with his appearance right now after having stormed out of an interview with 60 Minutes. The president's time right now is preoccupied on Twitter, tweeting about the interview that he did with Leslie Stahl. Literally, that's what he's spending his time with right now. And the sad part is that people aren't even really expecting a stimulus anymore. People are looking, you know, the trust in the American government right now has plummeted to an all-time low to get anything done. Is it any wonder? It's not shocking to me at all. And then, you know, the president likes to surround himself with the most corrupt, unseemly, shady individuals that you could possibly pick from. And that's what, you know, that's what everyone's talking about this morning. So this morning, I have to tell you the story. Maybe, I don't know, it'll bring a smile to your face in some way. Maybe it won't. Maybe you'll be disgusted by it. A number of you, though, wrote me about this and said, hey, Clayton, are you going to cover this story? You're going to cover this Rudy Giuliani story? I'll be tuning in. I want to watch. Are you going to be covering this? And the answer is, of course I will be. A bunch of you sent me messages this morning if I would cover this story. No need to worry. So what is this story? Well, it's the most searched for, most talked about story in the world right now. Don't believe me? Here it is. Here's the number one story in the world right now. It's Borat. 1 million searches in the last few hours just for this story. Why? Because Rudy Giuliani basically caught red-handed in the new Borat movie, which comes out on Friday. Number one most searched for story. Rudy Giuliani getting caught on camera with his hands down his pants, with a young woman in a hotel room who was pretending, it was an actress, pretending to be Borat's 15-year-old daughter. So Giuliani believes she's a 15-year-old blonde reporter who's Borat's daughter. She's actually 24. But she gets... this video is now... A lot of people have seen this video and are saying it's cringeworthy. It's worse than the way that Rudy Giuliani is playing this whole thing down, which we'll get to in a second. But here's the story. Here's what you'll see on Friday. She was pretending to be a journalist. So he follows her into her. He follows her into her bedroom. Remember, this is Trump's personal lawyer. He lays down on the bed and puts his hands down his pants. And of course, this all comes on the heels of, you know, New York prosecutors who are still looking into his shady dealings. So this is how I think how Borat knew that they could get him in this position for this fake interview. What? Oh, you're Ukrainian? Oh, yeah, you're from that part of the world? Sure, I'll sit down and do an interview. Sure. So they fool him into doing this interview. And then she gets up and like goes into the bedroom. He follows her in there and lays down on the bed. And like puts his hands down his pants. So number one, you know, the first Borat movie is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I think the next day after I saw that movie, I couldn't stop laughing. Or I think my stomach hurt so much because I was laughing so hard. And Borat has a history of Sacha Baron Cohen of getting politicians into these, you know, compromising positions. But, you know, it looks like Rudy Giuliani just walked into this one. So a number of people on Twitter, a number of people have already seen screenings of this movie and coming out saying this is way worse than you think it is. Like Rudy Giuliani trying to downplay this right now. Josh Gad, of course, who plays Olaf in the Frozen movies. He says, well, it looks like the cat's out of the pants. Having seen Borat 2, I can now safely tell you that Rudy Giuliani is over in a very big way. It's worse than you think and more uncomfortable than anything I've seen in a recent film, documentary, or otherwise. Giuliani, though, in his response, tweets about this and he says, the Borat video is a complete fabrication. I was tucking in my shirt after taking off recording equipment. I was taking off recording equipment. At no time before, during, or after the interview was I ever inappropriate. If Sacha Baron Cohen implies otherwise, he is a stone-cold liar. It goes back and forth even worse than that. Josh Gad says, I've worn hundreds of microphones in my life. None of them were ever on or near my junk, where it requires me to lie on a bed in front of a young female to get the pack out. Your daughter thinks you're a scumbag. Go night-night now. Ouch. Demi Lovato coming out, Meghan McCain, a lot of people who've seen this movie now saying it's worse than you think. Maureen Dowd writing at the New York Times, it's cringeworthy, she says. Rudy Giuliani in this sort of fake interview where he lays down on a bed. Look, I want to say this. Look, there's a microphone. There's a boom mic above his head. There's a boom mic above her head for this interview. There's lights all set up. She gets up, goes into the bedroom. He follows her. And then he starts like patting her on the back at one point. And he says he has to take a microphone out. First of all, I've worn hundreds of microphones or thousands in my television career. I have never once had a microphone down my pants. It's not how it happens. You put it on your belt loop. You clip it on. You run it up on your tie. You have to lay down on a bed. I've interviewed Rudy Giuliani dozens of times. I've always found him to be creepy. I've always found him to be shady. I remember one time we were interviewing him and the news anchors, we were interviewing him. He left. And during the commercial break, we all looked at each other and we're like, what? What did he just even say? It's disgusting. 76-year-old guy who, you know, doesn't think anyone else is around, hidden cameras. He's in a bedroom with a, you know, attractive blonde, quote, he thinks she's 15 years old. Disgusting. So they are reeling this morning as if the Trump administration needed any more distractions. I mean, he's already in hot water for his weird, shady Ukrainian deals. And prosecutors are continuing to look at that. This is Trump's top attorney in this position. But you won't probably hear this covered in a lot of the mainstream media. You won't see it on Fox, I'm sure. But Rudy Giuliani certainly is going on damage control this morning, taking as many interviews as he can, saying that it's all, oh, it was just recording equipment down my pants. What do you think? Let me know. But the movie comes out on Friday on Amazon Prime. And those who've seen it already say it's, you know, like I said, it's worse than you think it is. Worse than you think. Cringeworthy. And those also say that Borat 2 is hilarious. And Tiffany in the chat says nothing is surprising anymore. No, it's not. It is creepy. Creepy Rudy. There he is, Creepy Rudy. Laying down on a bed. Here with my hands down my pants. Ugh. Disgusting. Creepy Rudy. Let me know your thoughts in the chat on that. By the way, will you watch the Borat movie? I know what I'm doing Friday night. I'll need a palate cleanser, though, after I watch the debate tonight. So that'll be my Friday night. I'm going to rent Borat 2 on Amazon Prime. Disgusting. We've got more to get to here in a moment, but I want to take some of your calls. So we've got a few calls here. Let's start with Kendrick. Kendrick sent in a call and has a question. So let's play that, Kendrick.
Good afternoon, Clayton. My name is Kendrick. I am located in Miami, Florida. My question is, I'd like to refinance my parents' home. My parents physically live in New York City. I currently reside in Miami, Florida. So I was told I can obtain a durable power of attorney and that could help me with the financial matters for them. Since they're elderly, they aren't unable to take on the task of refinancing because it's such a huge amount of stress. So I want to do it for them. So any advice, tips, steps, or resources I can explore to actually refinance a home that is not mine, I would appreciate your input. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Kendrick, for the question. So refinancing, there's a couple of questions I have on the and we have another question on refinancing we'll get to a little bit later. So Kendrick, stick around for that because it might be helpful for you as well. Refinancing is great if the numbers make sense. And if your parents have a much higher interest rate and you know you'll be able to save money on that payment over the long haul. But if you're planning on selling that house very soon, then those closing costs that you're going to pay to close that loan could be anywhere from $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 in closing costs for a new loan. You're essentially getting a new loan. So refinancing can be done by you with a power of attorney, right? The whole reason we have power of attorney is so that, yes, you are acting on their behalf. They have to sign off on it. Attorney has to sign off on it, et cetera. You can even have an attorney do it if they want to. Very simple to find banks right now that are willing to do refinances. Flagstar Bank is a good one that does international transactions on that. Churchill Mortgage is another good one. Dan Krause over at Churchill Mortgage, he does, I think, Florida and a bunch of other southern states as well. Let him know that I sent you. And he's a friend. So he does good refinances. So what you can do with this refinance is are you living in the property? You know, if you're living in the property, then you'll want to consider putting it in an LLC as well. I mean, again, I'm not a financial advisor, so consult with your financial advisors on this. But if this were my home, you know, I would be looking at, if I'm not living in it and your parents are not living in it either, and maybe you're planning on converting it to a rental property, you're definitely going to want to put it for liability protection into an LLC if you can. If you're going to live in it as a primary residence, then yes, a refinance would be a great option. But you really want to consider how much you'll be saving over the long run. The problem is, again, is the closing costs, $6,000, $7,000. And if you're planning on selling this house in the next year, then those numbers may not work. You may end up having to hold that property for 4 or 5 years to recoup the amount you're going to spend closing a new loan. So some things to consider on this. Refinance, it should be very easy to do, though. I would just talk to one of your lenders down there in Florida, tell them the situation, say my parents live in New York, I have power of attorney to do a refinance on this property, what things do I need to go through with you? And every bank is going to be different. So just find out what you need from them, start that process. But I do know the banks have been swamped lately with a lot of refinances, so just have some patience on that front. So thank you, Kendrick, for that question. Our next question is from Richard. Let's hear from Richard.
Good morning, Clayton. My name is Richard. My question is, after 35 years of working in the automobile business as a finance manager, I moved here from New York to Florida. Now I'm looking to a different direction in a career path and was offered a position working for a company called Aflac. Need to know if that is a wise choice. My income was over $150,000 a year. Would I be wise to do that?
Okay, thanks, Richard. Well, there's a lot left unsaid, I think, in your call. I don't know how much you'd be making at Aflac. I guess your other position, you were making $150,000 a year. Are you close to retirement, so you're not really wanting to work? There's a lot of things. I mean, to me, this just comes down to personal preference. You know, will this new job at Aflac pay you the salary that you want? You know, or are you in a position now to start investing in something that can produce cash flow for you instead? Do you have some savings saved up? Do you know, if you have money in a 401k or a retirement account somewhere that you have in savings, could you take that money and move it into some sort of vehicle that's going to produce monthly cash flow for you? Remember, anytime you're working for somebody else, a 9-to-5 job, you're trading time for money. You're trading that time for a paycheck. So if you are in a situation where you don't want to do that anymore, you're retired, you're down in Florida, can you take some of the money that you earned from 35 years at this other company and convert that into cash flow by investing in a rental property, investing in some sort of other investment that's going to produce monthly cash flow for you, a business perhaps? But again, if it's personal preference and you think you like this new position and it's going to pay you the type of salary and benefits that you'd like, you know, far be it for me to dissuade you from taking that job. I just know 35 years in a position, you might be wanting to sail into the sunset a little bit. And is this the type of life you want right now? So those are some serious things to consider. But look, with so many people struggling right now to find employment and you're being offered a great position, I think, again, that's going to come down to your own personal preferences on that. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for those questions. If you want to ask a question, leave us a voicemail. You can do so. Give us a call. Just go to morninginvest.com/Clayton. Leave us like a 30-second call. Let us know where you're calling from as well. And we will include it in the show. We're going to have more of your questions coming up here a little bit later. Do we have any social questions also, Philip, that we can throw up here on the screen? Marie says, Supreme Court and confirmation importance is like worrying about retirement when you have late-stage cancer. Yeah. Well, that's what Mitch McConnell's worried about. That's his main focus right now. So let millions of people suffer. You know, let millions of people suffer without passing a stimulus, but at least his legacy will be intact. Getting a 6-3 Supreme Court so he can ride off into the sunset for his corporate donors. They'll probably build a nice house for him. I'm sure they will. Probably build a nice, nice big retirement house, and he'll get some great deals because all of these corporate donors will take care of him. That's how it works. Eddie Kane Jr. says, Mitch does more stunts than Lee Majors. Lee Majors. Lee Majors is a $6 million man, right? I think so, yeah. Donna Thompson said, that's fine with me, Clayton. I'm so tired of their back and forth politics. It's too stressful getting my hopes up. They smash it. Vote them all out. I agree with you. Me saying, look, I think, you know, it's time for us to, I'm not going to cover this story anymore unless we have something meaningful. I thought for sure this back and forth from Pelosi and Mitch McConnell saying he'd bring it to a floor vote yesterday was as positive a news as I could have hoped for. And then basically all signs now pointed to him wanting to squash any kind of larger stimulus, warning the president last night, don't bring a larger stimulus to the table. And Trump, I've never seen him cower like this to anybody else. Have you? It's like he's got something on the guy. I don't know. He's like cowering to McConnell. Okay, you don't want me to bring a big bill to the Senate floor? Okay, Mitch, I won't. Instead of grabbing the podium like he does when he's upset with Dr. Fauci or anybody else and saying, you know, grabbing the microphone and saying, hey, Mitch McConnell, you're the Senate Majority Leader. You've got a lot of power. Guess what? I'm President of the United States. Get this done. He's not. He's bowing down to Mitch McConnell, who's the most powerful, who's arguably the most powerful Republican in this country. Yeah, so there you go. Kristen Swenson said, I've mic'd many professionals having worked in the film studio for years, and they always put the pack on their belt or in the chair. I'd have screamed running if someone put it in their pants. Exactly, Kristen. I mean, I worked in television for 20 years. Never once on a man did I ever have an audio technician put a pack down the front of my pants. I would have been like, whoa, what's going on here? What's going on here? That would have never happened. And by the way, on women, very often they would clip it around their ankle. If they had like one of those ankle packs, they put it on their ankle. Or we would have one of our female technicians put it on the back of their bra. It's the way it works. But there's recording equipment down your pants, Giuliani. I just don't buy it. Sorry, do you buy that? Yeah, I just gotta lay down on your bed if you don't mind. Just gonna have my hand down my pants for a little while if that's okay with you. Disgusting. We got more news to get to. All right. We'll get more questions here in a minute. Well, Quibi is closing up shop. I know you were so disappointed in it. How, if you're a billionaire, can you spend $2 billion in a few months and flush it right down a toilet? Well, that's exactly what Jeffrey Katzenberg, Meg Whitman, and others did with billions of dollars for a video streaming platform that was a total disaster. So they announced yesterday that officially, yes, it is closing down. And they said, look, this is a clear-eyed decision to close it down. There was just no question that keeping us going was not going to have a different outcome. It was just going to spend a whole lot more money without any value to show for it, Jeffrey Katzenberg told Deadline. He said, so out of respect for these people that put up this extraordinary amount of capital to do it, that's irresponsible, and we both felt we shouldn't do it. So there, then there's over $300 million still left in this bank account right now. They announced yesterday that they're going to have to lay off the hundreds of people that work for Quibi. Bye-bye. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for joining this venture. Now your life is uprooted during a pandemic. Bye-bye. Well, us billionaires were just playing around with this stupid idea. So what was Quibi and why didn't this thing work? Well, the idea was that we were going to launch a little video streaming service that you could access and pay for on your phone, a video subscription service. So I download Quibi and I would pay for it in the same way that I would like HBO, et cetera, whatever. And I'd have this video streaming service on my phone and it was only going to be about 10-minute episodes. It's going to take over the world. All of these big players, Paramount, others were getting involved and going to produce all this content for it, all this like highly polished content, etc. They were throwing billions of dollars around to make all these little TV shows on Quibi. This is what happens when the billionaire class is so out of touch with the rest of the country that they think that they can move mountains with their money when the American people are sitting there saying, we don't have money to pay for some subscription service right now. And by the way, it's the middle of a pandemic. So why do I need to be on the go with a streaming service that's designed for me to be in a subway or on a bus going somewhere? I'm at home. So you know what? I'm just going to watch Netflix and chill. But this is how the billionaires, this is literally how the billionaires shake. This is amazing to me watching this unfold. And what's amazing to me is that 2 years ago, they came to me. That's right. A producer came to me and said, look, been having meetings with Quibi, interested in doing a show. Here's the idea. Here's the platform. And this is going to be, you know, this is going to explode. This is going to be the biggest thing ever. So they explained it to me. Here's how they explained it to me. Okay, it's a service that people are going to sign up for, and the shows are going to be like 10 minutes long. And, you know, big Hollywood producers are going to like put a lot of money behind making shows for this new service. Because you know what? People's attention span is only like 10 minutes now. So that's how long these shows will be. You'll have like, you know, multiple shows, but they'll all be like 10 minutes. I said, okay. And I remember getting off the phone thinking, 10 minutes. Like that's usually a YouTube video and that's free. And there's some pretty darn good YouTube content that's free. Well produced. You're going to go up against YouTube and Google and people are going to pay for this? Okay. So then this thing started rolling out. Then it rolls out. It launched, I think, during the pandemic. So no one was on the go. No one was moving around anywhere. Everyone was home. And no one gave a rat's behind about Quibi with their highly polished 10-minute shows. Did any of you watch a Quibi show at all? I mean, we got like 5,000 people watching right now. Did anybody watch a Quibi show? Michael Stewart says, I can watch full seasons. My attention span is much longer than 10 minutes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, think about the things that I watch on Netflix now, right? Think about the thing and, you know, the amount of money that they're spending on content. There's so many great documentaries that I'm watching on that channel. I mean, you know, hey, The Crown is about to come back. One of my favorite shows that comes back for season 4, right? I think in just like a few weeks, I'll be watching Netflix for that. I've been watching Fargo, the new season of Fargo with Chris Rock. It's fantastic. Those shows are like an hour long. I don't need 10-minute content that I have to pay for on some little streaming platform run by Hollywood billionaires. So the demise of Quibi, closing up. They're going to try to sell off some of their assets somewhere. You know, that's how they see these things too. It's just like little digital assets that they produce this content. Maybe now, I don't know, YouTube will swoop in and try to buy some of this stuff. Maybe they'll sell some of it to Netflix if it's any good, put it together. I don't know. But this is how billionaires spend their money and how you can waste $2 billion in a short amount of time. My question though is, there's almost $400 million still sitting there in the kitty. Now, all of these investors put money into it. You've got 200 employees who are now out of work. If all these multimillionaires and billionaires can just throw their money around like it's nothing, why not pay the salary for a year for these 200 employees that now are laid off? Wouldn't that be nice? Like, here's a severance package. Try to find other work right now. We know it's a pandemic. This was just a tax write-off for us anyway. Wouldn't that be nice? Give all those people a salary for the next year so they can find meaningful work instead of working for these blowhard billionaires who are just in this Hollywood bubble. I seriously don't know who thought this was a good idea. The problem is with this billionaire class is they're all surrounded by sycophants, right? Like if I'm a billionaire, Jeffrey Katzenberg from DreamWorks, and I've got all this money and I'm like, you know what? I've got a new idea. I'm going to hold some meetings. Carol, can you get me some meetings with this guy, and this guy? Make sure that they're all sycophants, so they're all surrounding me, and they're all kissing my butt the whole time, okay? That's what I want the lunch to look like. I got this great idea. So we're going to lunch. Yeah, I'm going to pay for the lunch. It's going to be a big fancy lunch. Let's go sit down and have lunch. Great. I got all my sycophants around the table here. Okay, great. Here's my idea. Let's order some more wine. Let's order the best wine, because I got a breakthrough idea. I've heard about this thing called YouTube that's kind of doing pretty well. Kids tell me about it. So you know what? Let's create a video streaming service where all of our shows are like 10 minutes long and we'll have people sign up for it and they'll have to download a separate app on their phone. Who's in? Yeah, Jeffrey, I think that's such a great idea. You're such a brilliant man, Jeffrey. There's no one around that table going, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You want to waste $2 billion of your money? Go ahead. No one's telling them that. They all live in this like little protective Hollywood, you know, little bubble. I just find it hilarious. You know, I don't feel sorry for them. These are the same clowns that right when the pandemic was starting, by the way, they tweeted pictures of themselves on their yacht saying that they were social distancing. Like, hey, I'm social distancing. David Geffen. Photo of his yacht. It was a drone shot of his massive yacht. I'm social distancing. Great. Tell that to the millions of Americans that live in, you know, right on top of each other that don't have healthcare or a stimulus. Go ahead and tweet a picture of your yacht. So I have little sympathy for this kind of stuff. There you go. There's the death of Quibi. Sorry if you were an investor in Quibi, but you need to get your head examined. You might as well be, boy, you know what you should have done is taken some of your Quibi money and put it into Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is exploding today. So why is Bitcoin exploding overnight? Yeah, it's one of the most talked about stories, and it could be one of the biggest cryptocurrency stories of the year, folks. Bitcoin exploding over the past 24 hours, and you all have PayPal to thank for it. Because PayPal just gave cryptocurrency, mostly Bitcoin, a massive boost of authenticity overnight. So PayPal is now launching its own cryptocurrency service. Yeah, you heard me right. So that means now I could literally go on eBay if I wanted to buy some old Star Trek books, which I like doing, by the way. I love old Star Trek novels, like the original ones. So I try to dig for those sometimes and try to find some. Do I have any? No, I have one back there on the shelf behind me. But and so like I'll go on eBay and try to find some of those. Like if they're in perfect condition, I'll get them and I love to read that. So now I could pay for my eBay purchases with cryptocurrency on PayPal. This is the future, folks. So PayPal really just validated cryptocurrency transactions. So if you want to buy something old on eBay, guess what? Now you can do it with PayPal and using cryptocurrency. And this is the perfect time to be investing in Bitcoin and other forms of cryptocurrency like Ethereum. Because what the Federal Reserve continues to do, which is continue to print money with all of their quantitative easing, and is not slowing down anytime soon. So this is a perfect example, and I think it sums up nicely when you look at what's going on with cryptocurrency versus what's happening with the federal government. Because with Bitcoin, we know how much is in circulation. We know how much has been mined. And they're not making more of it unless they mine it. And then we know how much is mined. With the Federal Reserve, we don't know how much they're printing. They're printing so much money, we can't keep track of it. We can't follow it anymore. So would you rather be invested in a currency like the United States government dollar that is losing value every day, or an actual currency that is decentralized and not being debased because of a central government? That's exactly what's happening. And I thought that this sound yesterday was a perfect summation of why right now it's a perfect storm for cryptocurrency.
Now we have this amazing tailwind because of the macro situation globally, right? We've got quantitative easing on top of quantitative easing, all over the world, not just here in the U.S. Today, the Fed is going to start buying, you know, ETFs. And so on the flip side, the halving is really quantitative tightening. And so you've got this exclamation point on the story of what a scarce asset does, you know, what a monetary system with scarcity looks like vis-a-vis, or in contrast to what the Fed is doing. And so it really is just this perfect timing, really, for what looks like a macro story that people are thinking, I should have 1-2% of my portfolio in this Bitcoin, because the probability or possibility that things go really poorly with classic monetary, fiat monetary policy is rising.
There you go. Perfect storm and a perfect opportunity to be involved in this right now. So, you know, with Bitcoin surging to its highest since July 2019, yeah, it went up 5% on Wednesday. The online payments company declared adding crypto was a significant milestone on the path to mainstream adoption of cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. Remember, I want you to, you know, watch what they do, not what they say. And so these companies or other people and Wall Street types can all sort of crap all over Bitcoin because they want you in the stock market, right? They all want to talk down Bitcoin because it's the people's currency. Wall Street doesn't like it. You know, all of the major, you know, news networks don't like it because they don't understand it. And they're also scared of it. So again, watch what these companies do, not what they say. And so PayPal just validated cryptocurrency. They validated it. They put their money where their mouth is. So this is a really, really telling moment for the future of this currency. In many ways, because people trust PayPal, all kinds of layers of security. When you do a PayPal transaction, it's protected, it's insured. If you're using their platform, so this validates cryptocurrency. It almost in many ways removes some of the fear of using it. if you're now using crypto through PayPal's platform, it's just like using a dollar. This is powerful stuff. So now $13,000 for a Bitcoin? Experts believe it could hit $14,000 in the next few months. And so here's what PayPal's president, Dan Schulman, is saying. He said the efficiency, speed, resilience of cryptocurrencies give people financial inclusion and access advantages. He said this eventual shift from physical to digital currencies is inevitable, he says. Cryptocurrency, of course, is digital money exchanged without fees between two parties and with no involvement from traditional banks and no regulatory oversight by national governments. No wonder they hate this. And no wonder the federal government in the United States is moving towards building its own cryptocurrency, the FedNow cryptocurrency. This idea of having a digital wallet that I can use Ethereum, use Bitcoin, use the Fed currency if I want to, and pay for all of these things, and know that it's being cataloged by not only me and the person I'm buying or selling to, it's also being cataloged by a third party, so it's all being tracked. No state can ruin it. United States, China, Japan can't get in the middle of it and debase the value of this currency. They hate it. It's coming, folks. And we should all be paying attention to this. The fact that there are no fees between two parties and no one can debase this currency and the federal government continues to print money like this. You should have a portion of your portfolio in crypto at this point. So if you've got some savings sitting there, instead of putting that back into some BS savings account, like a Wells Fargo or some other government-backed, you know, U.S. savings account where you're making 0.001% interest, which is actually losing money against inflation, having some of your money in Bitcoin, or you can buy fractional share. You don't need to buy a $13,000 Bitcoin. You can buy down to the eighth decimal point of Bitcoin. You can buy fractional shares of Bitcoin. You can use an app like Coinbase. Coinbase is a great app. And make sure you're looking at buying BTC, which is Bitcoin BTC. That's the trading name. And start to think about how you can shift your portfolio out of this corrupt government banking system and out of this government currency, which is just being printed like crazy. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. How much cryptocurrency do you own? Let me know in the chat below. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, please. We also have our daily morning newsletter, which goes out every morning. So we cover big stories like this for free, delivered right to your inbox every morning. Just go to morninginvest.com. So morninginvest.com is the place to go to download the newsletter. It'll be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. So how many of you are looking at XRP right now? Tammy Edwards says, I have $5. Is that a start? You could actually buy $5 of crypto. You can. So don't be so worried about it. You have 3K in it right now. Bitcoin reached 19,000 in 2008, then tanked a few months later. Well, that's the point. It's a volatile currency because there's not a lot of it in circulation. So anytime you have less of something in circulation, the moves are greater. But if you don't think for a second that this currency is going up and will become one of these standards, you know, I'm not saying, and Anthony Pompliano, our crypto expert who we have here on the show a lot, he, you know, one of the things he talks about is not having a huge portion of your portfolio in any one thing, but having a percentage, you know, having 5-10% of your portfolio in these different asset classes. So you are diversified. But I would not be keeping my money in the stock market in this situation right now with these over inflated. Corey says, if I put $11,000 in Bitcoin, it goes up $700 in 1 month. If you put $11,000 in Wells Fargo, it takes 215 years to gain that kind of interest. Exactly. Exactly, Corey. Dr. Mangeli says, Clayton, it seems like the weak point here is the servers. What if they get destroyed? Well, I mean, what if an asteroid hits my house this afternoon? The beauty of the servers is that no one person owns, like, there's not just one server. It's separated by thousands of servers around the world. So you literally have to take down the entire infrastructure of the world for it to be taken down. Now, government, U.S. government currency. Think about that for a second. Or the U.S., like one U.S. state. We've already seen them. Think about what the Russians and Iranians are doing to our election right now. And the FBI came out yesterday and announced that they're interfering in our election again right now. They've stolen voter registration information. They've been sending fake emails telling you to go vote for, like intimidating you, the Iranians, telling you to go vote for Trump in Florida. I mean, so a lot of what ifs. I agree with you. Like, what if every server in the world goes down? I don't know. What about you? Are you with Wells Fargo? Are you with Bank of America? I'm with Wells Fargo. You know, like, what happens if all of the Wells Fargo servers go down? Can I get my money? Same thing, right? Actually, it's not the same thing because we don't know where these servers are. That's the brilliance of Bitcoin. It's decentralized and it's anonymous. Yeah, Sunflare can cause global outages. Frank Bumstead, thank you for your super chats. As I worry that crypto will go the way everyone else who challenges the dollar. Many nations are in ruins for trying to challenge oil for dollars. Well, I mean, look what the federal government is doing, though. They're starting their own currency right now. Their own digital currency and tokenized currency. So, yes, the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. Until it's not. Every fiat currency, which is government currency in world history, has collapsed. Why would this one be any different? It won't. Josh Ware, I've seen you ask this question a bunch of times. I think I answered it at the beginning of the show. Outlet, what if insurance company goes bankrupt? I don't know. I would ask them that question. What if they go bankrupt? I don't know. I don't know what happened to them insuring your money. I mean, so Outlet would need to go under and the insurance company would need to go under, right? So a lot of those things can happen. If you do want a 6% interest savings account, though, this is the savings account that I use. It's a savings account alternative, and it's backed by cryptocurrency. You can get money deposited in your account for free if you use our link. They will deposit free money into your account for saying thank you by going to morninginvest.com/outlet. It's backed by cryptocurrency. It's actually backed by Ethereum, which next to Bitcoin is really the top cryptocurrency, and you'll earn 6% on every dollar you save with them. You can deposit anytime and you can withdraw at any time. So check them out at morninginvest.com/outlet. If you use that link, you'll get some free money. They will also deposit into your account. You can put like $100 in there. You could start with 50, whatever you want. You don't have to put thousands, but you can. I heard one of you wrote to me and said, I just opened my Outlet account. I put $40,000 in there. So now your savings, your interest is like skyrocketing. So good on you. Good on you for that. We've got some more questions to get to here today. So let's get to them. We've got Ashley. Here's a question from Ashley this morning. Play this one. Ashley's question.
Hi, good morning, Clayton. I had a question in regards to something you said on your morning YouTube channel on October 20th, 2020, yesterday. It was in regards to cryptocurrency. So I tried looking up the podcast or the videos in your channel in regards to the information of cryptocurrency, but I wasn't able to find it. Can you please advise where we can find the information that you got from your friend for the cryptocurrency? Thank you. I would really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you so much, Ashley, for the question. So we did an episode here. I think it was pretty much a Bitcoin 101 cryptocurrency episode here right on our channel. So just go to my channel here, Morning Invest, and do a search in the channel videos for Bitcoin. I'll link it below in the show notes after today's show so you can see that. We're also going to have a new interview with Anthony Pompliano, our cryptocurrency expert. He's going to be joining us. We'll release that interview here on the channel as well. But if you want to see the first interview that we did with him, he really gave us a deep dive understanding of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, how it operates, how explaining the infrastructure behind it. So I'll make sure we link that in the show notes of this video today so you can catch that a little bit later. Or if you just want to search for it yourself right here on our channel, when you go to our channel, click on search channel videos and just type in Bitcoin. And you should be able to see that deep dive video with Anthony. So thank you for that question, Ashley. Here is Amy with a question.
Hi, Clayton. Love your show. So I have a house that's worth about $156,000. I don't live in it. Tenants live in it. I make about $650 per month off of that rental property. And currently, I don't have a job, but I did make in the past 2 years about $11,000 on my investments. So I was thinking of taking my $11,000 and putting it towards the mortgage, which is $23,000 remains, so that I would have $13,000 only. And then I was thinking about how next year, when I can figure out how to start working again, I could try to pay down that mortgage completely. So what do you think about me taking my $11,000 gains that I have made in the stock market to put towards my $23,000 remaining mortgage on my house that's worth $156,000 and is being paid by tenants? What do you think?
Thank you, Amy, for the question. No, I would not do that. Remember, the goal in, I mean, all investing really comes down to using other people's money. You're using other people's money in order to build wealth right now. You're using the bank's money. They gave you a mortgage on this property and the tenants are paying your mortgage. Don't upset the apple cart here, right? If they're paying your mortgage and you're actually still building wealth and saving on top of what the tenants are paying you to cover your mortgage, and the tenants are happy, you've got that, that's all moving along nicely. Great. So what I would do with that $11,000 is not throw it back at the bank, which is just really, frankly, throwing it down the toilet, in my opinion. I would take that money and reinvest that. Why not add a second rental property to your portfolio? You know, start to think how you can use that money in tandem with some other money maybe you have in your 401k or some other retirement account as a down payment, you know, on an investment property. And so use that money to invest and start to bring in additional cash flow. So, you know, that's how I started. And, you know, frankly, a friend of mine who now has thousands of properties, how he started as well. He started but with one property and got it with a mortgage, fixed it up, cash flowing with the tenants inside. Then he refinanced that house. Then he pulled the equity out of that house and bought a second one. And then he used the equity and the situation on that first, the second one to pay off the first one and just kept snowballing. Now he has thousands of properties. So you might consider refinancing that property instead or taking a home equity line of credit out on that property and using the equity in that house that you have now to buy an additional property. So again, I'm not a financial advisor, but this is something that I would do. I would not personally be taking that money and just throwing it at the bank. You know, again, if your tenants are covering that mortgage right now, plus you also get the mortgage interest deduction on your taxes, this is an just continue to use the other people's money, use the bank's money right now in order to continue building wealth. So I would look at how I could take that money plus maybe home equity line of credit or some other form and extend myself into an additional rental property that could bring in $1,000 or $2,000 a month in cash flow. And now you've got two rental properties because you've been smart with your money. So great question. Thank you so much, Amy, for that question. If you would like to ask us a question, you can. It's very simple to do. Just go to morninginvest.com/Clayton. That's the link. And leave us like a 30-second question. Try to keep it about 30 seconds. Tell us where you're from also. That'd be helpful. And yeah, ask any questions you want, like Kyle did. Here's a question.
My name is Kyle. I'm from Montana. I had a quick question. I was considering refinancing a rental property I have. The refinance cost for everything was like $6,000. We only have $115,000 on the mortgage left. And I was curious if it's worth refinancing when the cost to refinance is like 6% total cost of the loan. We wouldn't save much money. We pay a little bit extra on the mortgage every month anyway, over $100 extra. Just curious on your thoughts. Thanks, Clayton.
Thank you, Kyle, from Montana, the beautiful state of Montana, my old stomping ground where I used to live in Helena, Montana. Kyle's question, the formula for a refinance, you take the amount of savings and I want you to understand this, is that you take the amount of savings that you're going to get in a refinance and you divide that by the cost of the loan. So let's pretend you're going to save an extra $200 a month by doing this on your mortgage. That's about, you know, about 30 months that you're going to have to take in order to pay back that $6,000-$7,000 in closing costs from that loan. That's how much it'll cost you. Now, if you're only saving like $100 on your mortgage payment because of a refinance, that's going to take you about 60 months to pay it back. I mean, that's like 5 years of time that it's going to take you to pay back that closing costs. Remember, folks, when you're refinancing a house, you're getting a new loan. And the reason banks love to do refinances is because they love to charge you those closing costs. So if you're going to move within those 5 years or 3 years, and you're not going to recoup that amount that you're going to spend in that closing cost for that new loan, don't do it. That's the formula. You should only really be doing this if you know you're going to stay in the property for a long time, and that savings is going to be, you're going to be able to eclipse that savings over the course of 4 or 5 years, et cetera, and you're going to be able to, you know, make that money back. I think people get allured to that and they just do not think about those closing costs. They forget about those closing costs, which can be very, very important. And that's the whole game. I would also think about, well, you know, instead of that, Kyle, maybe you take that money, you do a refinance or a home equity line of credit. You do a home equity line of credit, pull some of that equity out, and you reinvest that in another property. You know, buy an investment property or reposition some of that money, that equity that you're sitting on, into some other assets that can perform for you. So those are some options, but if you're on track right now, you know, read my book, How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years, because I think you could probably really strategically use a home equity line of credit and pay it off much more quickly by just targeting your payments towards that principal balance rather than going through a refinance. Just my opinion on that. So thank you so much for those questions. I really appreciate it. Yeah, there's so many. Well, there are a lot of refinance specials out there with no closing costs, but you might be paying higher fees. You might be paying other. See, there's no such thing as a free lunch. They'll say no closing costs, but there's other ways they're getting you. So you just need to be careful about those hidden fees in these mortgages. A lot of people don't know about these hidden fees in their mortgages. So thank you for those questions. So if you'd like to ask a question, feel free to do so just by going to morninginvest.com/Clayton to ask your questions. Any other questions we have here on the screen in social today? They go to the lender, Carol says. Who do the closing costs go to? They go to the lender, HEI. Jen Gray says, thank you. I wanted to say your information has been very helpful to me and my husband. We will be coming into a decent amount of money soon and looking for smart ways to invest. Way to go, Jen. Thank you so much. Oh, you guys are interested in buying Bitcoin. There's an app called Coinbase, B-A-S-E, Coinbase. So it's an app you can download on your phone, go to it online. It's a website. That's just an exchange. So Coinbase is where I've bought my Bitcoins. It's a very easy, it's probably the most popular platform, Coinbase. Jennifer Baldwin, can she get a second rental property with no income to show? Yes. That's the thing. There's a beauty in getting another rental property using non-recourse financing. So if you're interested in that, I have a separate YouTube channel just for real estate investing. It's called youtube.com/MorrisInvest. And we talk about non-recourse financing over there. If you're interested in that, go check it out. But that's where the bank will basically lend on the asset itself, and they don't care about you and your personal income. They're looking at that property, and they're seeing that, oh, there's a tenant in there, cash flowing already. We're going to back that asset, and we don't even care about you. You could skip town and go to Argentina, and they are backing the asset itself, not you. So something to think about. Non-recourse is a great way to go about it. Morning Invest, can you give people your link so that you can get free $10 Bitcoin for you and new users? I wish. I don't have a Bitcoin link that I can give out. Here's Mr. Beast Mode Megaforce. Hey Clayton, I just bought a rental that I'm currently rehabbing. I put $10,000 down and owner financed $25,000 at 4% over 6 years. Should I attempt to refinance for a better cash flow or pay down the mortgage? At 4% over 6 years, put down 10K, owner finance 25. I mean, what's the difference between 3% and 4%? Unless you're really wanting to extend the years, like to 30 years. Again, it all just comes down to the numbers. What are you comfortable with? If that rental property is producing for you, and remember, there are three stages of real estate investing: buy, own, and cash flow. So Mr. Beast mode, you might be in the buy phase right now, okay, which is buying property. So you're not necessarily concerned with the cash flow. And even if you, like, if you're cash flowing above your mortgage and expenses, that's good, right? The rule is at least $100 above your cash flow, above what you owe a mortgage and your expenses. Okay. So if you figure 40% for expenses, repairs, taxes, et cetera, and then also on top of that, your mortgage. And if you're cash flowing like $100, then you're in the clear, right? You're in the buy phase. So for the next few years, you're just buying and you're building up your net worth. Then after you pay it off, you own it, right? Then the third phase, that's when you cash flow it. That's when you're really starting to reap the rewards of cash flow as you get older. So in the early buy phases, you're really focused on net worth, building up that portfolio. I had, for instance, had a friend in Cleveland years ago who bought over 100 properties using other people's money, other bank money, personal, all of that, personal loans, et cetera. And he had 5-year mortgages on every one of them. And all of the rent was just covered. He was like basically a little bit more than breaking even. So he was making a little bit on each one, but he wasn't really like making any money. And then after 5 years, all of those mortgages started being paid off because he hit that 5-year mark. And guess what? Then he owned them. And then they all started to cash flow. And he went from not making any money or a little bit, but his net worth went up, to now just having a flood of cash. And he was able to reinvest that and take it and move it into other rental properties. So I wouldn't be so concerned with that 1% interest difference than what you can get in with a loan right now. I would look at, how can I add more to my portfolio right now, as long as the numbers are making sure that I'm safe and I'm not over leveraged. That's the important thing, is to not be over leveraged. So thank you for that. Well, thank you, everyone, for a great show. I think we had one more question here from Penny. Let me play Penny's question here, and then we'll get you out of here.
Hi, Clayton. I'm Penny. I'm from Nebraska, and I've been wondering about buying gold. I live paycheck to paycheck, and a lot of times it doesn't even pay all my bills. So I'm wondering how I would go about buying gold, and would you suggest I get rid of my 401k, because I have heard you talk about it. So let me know what you think. Thanks.
Thank you, Penny. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're living paycheck to paycheck. So how can we convert some of what you already have into cash flow? Now, gold is not going to really produce any cash flow for you. Gold really, in many ways, is wealth preservation, meaning you're taking this volatile stock market money or money that you've got tied up in U.S. government currency that's volatile. Value of a dollar is less tomorrow than it was today. And you're moving it from that into a precious metal like gold and silver. So you're basically just Fort Knoxing yourself. You know, you're sort of preserving that capital, because yes, gold can go down in value and so forth, but it is, for 4,000 years, it has not gone down to zero. It is always given value. It's always been that hedge against, hedge against corrupt governments and fiat currency collapsing, et cetera. So I think of gold and silver in that way. And I think any smart investor should have a certain percentage of their portfolio in those precious metals as a hedge against what's going on in this crazy government. On the other hand, we have the CARES Act right now. So during the CARES Act, you have an opportunity right now to take money out of a 401k without penalty if you're able to show a hardship because of COVID. You can take that money out, you can withdraw it, or just get a loan to yourself and start to put that into a performing asset, so you're not having to live paycheck to paycheck. You know, I don't know how much you have in a 401k, but let's say you had $40,000 in a 401k. That's enough to get have a down payment on a rental property, where you can produce monthly cash flow from that rental property. Now, you'd be financing the rest of the purchase, right? But the cash flow from those tenants would be coming into your bank account every month. So you'd be converting your 401k into actually a performing asset. You know, I'm just not a fan of the 401k. If I personally had a 401k right now, I would be looking at any way that I could to get it out of the stock market and into precious metals or real estate as a hedge against inflation and as a hedge against this volatile stock market, which I believe is incredibly overpriced and overvalued right now. So talk to your employer, find out what you're able to do under the CARES Act. Remember, you only have until the end of the year under the CARES Act to take advantage of this accessing your 401k or retirement plan. So that's important. So I hope you find that helpful. Again, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail question, anything you on your mind about finance, please do go to morninginvest.com/Clayton. Thank you, Penny, for your question. I really appreciate it. And thanks to all of you for subscribing and being a part of our show every morning, learning about your finance, empowering yourself to build financial freedom. I really appreciate it. How many of you, by the way, have downloaded our free bootcamp? You can go to morninginvest.com/bootcamp. It's 90-day free, totally free bootcamp. We worked really, really hard to build this. So it'll take you 90 days, week by week, strategy to help you, you know, pay down debt, understand your balance sheet, understand what your current family's financial situation is, and build financial freedom based on this foundation. These are all the things that I wish we would have learned in high school, but we didn't. And it's totally free. So go ahead and download it. morninginvest.com/bootcamp. We will have a link below in the description. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Thank you so much. And remember, if Borat comes to your room, just don't lay on the bed. Don't put your hands down your pants.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry. Sorry I had to. Much love to all of you. We will see you tomorrow. Have a good day, everyone.